Greetings, Buenos Vientes. My name is Jeremy, and I am going into my final year of kinesiology at the University of Calgary. My research involves visibilities and representations of disabilities in sport, mainly being the Paralympics, through mass media such as newspapers, television, and ad campaigns. Sport stakeholder perceptions of sociocultural dimensions of sport, examine history and politics of Olympics and Paralympics, government of sport policy, media representations, and body cultures. Perceived by a cohort of undergraduate students, graduate students studying in physical education, and sport professionals such as athletes and sport policy makers. Barriers to sport participation of disabled people at the elite level, and sport is a peace-building tool between people with disabilities and their area of sustenance of global health is also part of my research. All of which of these facilities contribute to evaluating the sustainability of separation between the Paralympics and Olympics. Sustainability in sport is a social construct that conceptualizes the specific visions and perceptions of the purpose of human movement, temporally, progressively, and through social change. The Paralympics were founded by Dr. Ludwig Gutmann in 1948, named the Wheelchair Games for War Veterans with Paraplegia. Early recognition of disability in the Paralympics highlighted certain abilities seen as essential to the performance of sport. Physical disabilities like paralysis, amputation, and polio were common in portraying athletes, conceivably because of the physical image and variation in body structure and function from the perceived ideal Olympic athlete. The physical imagery that displayed this visible variation fulfilled the typical stereotype of the socially vulnerable athlete with disability. In the eye of Gutmann, in Rehabilitation of Veterans with Spinal Cord Injury, SCI, athletes with SCI met a certain criterion that other athletes with disabilities did not meet. The community looked upon the social disposition of people with SCI as being outside the accepted norm and as outcasts of society. Gutmann also believed in a social danger that veterans with SCI posed to themselves, characterized through shyness, anxiety, loss of self-confidence and personal dignity, self-pity, self-isolation, and antisocial behavior. Furthermore, Gutmann perceived rehabilitating veterans with SCI to be an imperative task. From Gutmann, he said, "There is no definite plan or objective for the rehabilitation, with consequently no real change in this depressing and most neglected aspect of medicine." In 1960, the first Paralympics were held alongside the Olympics in Rome. The para and Paralympics thus changed from meaning paraplegic to meaning the Paralympics running parallel to the Olympics. Gutmann intended for sport to provide for veterans with SCI a natural form of remedial exercise that would restore passion for playful activity and the desire to experience joy and pleasure in life. Indeed, the visibility of SCI was greater than other disabilities mentioned by Gutmann, such as amputation, cerebral palsy, deaf and blind, and partially sighted, forming a hierarchy of disabilities in sport. Most of my research came from the New York Times newspaper. In the New York Times newspaper, scant visibility of blind, vision impaired, Stargardt's disease, cerebral palsy, deaf and hearing impaired, autism and intellectual disabilities led to very little coverage. Serious problems regarding the determination of eligibility of athletes, as cited by the International Paralympic Committee, saw the banning of all athletes with intellectual disabilities from competing in any Paralympics event because most of Spain's gold medaling basketball team was found not to have intellectual disabilities in Sydney 2000. It was only recently in 2010 that the IPC welcomed back the opportunity for athletes with intellectual disabilities to compete in the 2012 London Paralympics. Despite the political attempts to view the Paralympics as equal to the Olympics, sustainability of the Paralympics being amateur to the perceived elite-level Olympics is fueled by negative media language and lack of visibility of the Paralympics, which reinforces social disablement, causing the separation between the two games. The image of the suffering entity and other negative and often medical imageries is a cause of social disablement toward Paralympic athletes. Often, media presents disability sport events as human interest stories rather than elite-level sport competitions. Popular human interest stories present disability as a personal tragedy that occurs to random individuals, requiring them to adapt to their new bodily form and function. The narrative requires athletes to exert superhuman efforts to succeed, or they deserve our pity or fear because of their disabling limitations. The human interest story. Media invokes charitable discourse, happy to be going rather than aiming for a gold medal, with the onlooker attitude of, oh, it's so good to see you here. You just threw that one foot, and we're so glad. Furthermore, media disempowers athletes with disabilities through patronizing and stereotypical reporting. Societal marginalization of Paralympic athletes is achieved through the media portrayal of Paralympic athletes as vulnerable, afflicted, injured, miserable, distressed, and in pain. Consequently, the wish to see disabled people who have done it is particularly intense, while the pitiful disabled trigger antipathy because they reproduce and reinforce disabled people's inferior positionality and exclusion. This image was based on the public finding inspiration in the disabled overcoming their deficits through sporting participation and being here. The official song of the Sydney Paralympics, Being Here, represented a non-disabled ableist and patronizing image of the Paralympic experience and of disability in general. The majority of media focused on this inspirational component, and that idea was from Darcy, to give him credit. Media narratives that reinforce social disablement are also of the supercrip, which is defined as the ability of a disabled person to perform outside of their labeled classification of disability that would be otherwise perceived acceptable by society. Within the Paralympics, there exists a hierarchy of acceptable impairment between the athletes. It appears that the closer a body is to a cyborg, the more capital it holds. Thus, a wheelchair athlete is portrayed as defective and technologically deficient using a perceived archaic form of therapeutic assistive device. Media phrases, confined or bound to a wheelchair, emphasize the societal expectations for the user to beat or overcome the very tool on which they depend. The chair won't beat me narrative stirs a possible discontentment and confusion within the wheelchair user community and perpetuates the false expectation for the wheelchair users to wear prosthetic legs instead. Here we see separation between the Paralympics and Olympics, where using legs is considered more prestigious than using wheelchairs, which is the reason wheelchair racing is not part of the Olympics. Furthermore, the supercrip image is attached to the most successful Paralympic athletes who win and gain relatively high profile media exposure. Those athletes who win but do not receive recognition are not considered supercrip in the context of the Paralympics, and they are often marginalized by the degree or nature of their impairment. Could it be that a rift is being created between Paralympians that do not wear legs and their sport in Paralympians that do wear legs and could advance to the Olympics, based on the International Olympic Committee's acceptable standards? The leg-glorifying media response toward athletes that wear legs seemed to indicate that this is the case, through their forthcoming expectation to open up the world for their wearers. A 1988 article described the feeling as freedom, being unchained, unlocking the door, and walking into the sunshine. Exhilarating. Hierarchy of bodies is not only evident between athletes with disabilities, but is also evident that the Paralympics are not equal to the Olympics. Mantras adhered to by the Olympic and Paralympic movements describe perception of elitism in the Olympics and of amateurism in the Paralympics. The Olympic motto, Citius Altius Fortius, translates from Latin, swifter, higher, stronger, and is ever more anticipatory and celebratory than its Paralympic counterpart, Agito, which translates I move, which intends to represent Paralympic athletes to achieve sporting excellence and to inspire and excite the world. The theme of the Paralympics is a source of inspiration, and as preceding the Olympics was strong in the media, as a Barcelona Paralympics was articled to make a worldwide glow that would remind us of the Olympic flame, and concluded that the Paralympic Games are for all of us. The 1996 President of the United States Olympic Committee, Dr. Leroy T. Walker, urged the Paralympics, which followed the Summer Olympics in Atlanta, be held before the future Summer Games. The switch would allow for the Paralympics to receive more recognition and serve as an administrative staging vehicle for future Summer Games. Indeed, the demure and slight tone of the Paralympic slogan only further reinforces the prejudice and misconceptions about disability through the image attached and the nature of language used to describe people with disabilities. If authors assert that there are parallels between the implicit aims and ideologies of both the Paralympic and Olympic movements, then the question arises as to why the Paralympic precept is so much more enigmatic and vague than its Olympic counterpart. From this stems the intrinsic question of why the Paralympics and Olympics do not share the same precepts. Indeed, illuminating contrast between the Paralympics and Olympic Games does not justify a reason for the Olympiad institutions to move in different ways. Furthering the separation between the Olympics and Paralympics is the fact that the Paralympics does not receive the same respect from corporate sponsors as does the Olympics. The United States Olympic Committee, which oversees programs for the Olympics and Paralympics, provides less direct financial assistance, health insurance opportunities, and performance bonuses to Paralympic athletes than it does to Olympians in comparable sports. While American corporations stage a feeding frenzy to be identified with the Olympic movement, they shy away from the Paralympics. This was the case during the Atlanta Paralympics when six corporate sponsors of the Olympics did not extend their sponsorship to the less costly Paralympics, but would not legally release the organizers to find other companies among their competitors to sponsor the event. The way the International Paralympic Committee slates disabled athletes to compete in the Paralympics is by requiring Paralympians to prove themselves less able than Olympians competing in the Olympics. This act typecasts Paralympians as amateur and poor, when in fact the technological enhancements they wear could enable them to outperform their non-disabled counterpart. The most recent of athletes who challenged this disabling narrative and who is able to perform so-called able-bodied athletes was South African runner Oscar Pistorius. Pistorius, who uses two carbon fiber cheetah legs as a therapeutic enhancement, was pitted by the media as being against Olympic athletes, thus increasing the tension between the Olympics and Paralympics. Yet other possible narratives were not explored, such as Pistorius to have his own bionic track event within the Olympics. The World Anti-Doping Agency defines doping as the hidden use of performance-enhancing products with the purpose of obtaining an unfair advantage. Media has labeled the cheetah legs of Oscar Pistorius as a techno-doping device. However, this characteristic does not align with the WADA definition, because when the legs are viewed as a tool, they can be compared to the pole used for pole vaulting or the sleigh and bobsledding, which are not labeled as doping devices, even though they enable the athletes to perform the sport. Thus, beyond this question is the equal treatment of assistive, also used by non-disabled athletes in species-typical sports, and therapeutic assistive devices. With equal treatment, disabled athletes competing in sport alongside non-disabled athletes is a trivial issue, and the question of which assistive devices in a particular sport are given entry into the Paralympics becomes more important. The possibility of leg prosthesis fused to a skier snowboard worn by an athlete competing against a species-typical skier snowboarder is just one example of the potential infrastructural changes that envision a technological enterprise of new sport. To close, the vision of Paralympic athletes to compete in the Olympics makes the implicit claim that Paralympic athletes perceive the Paralympics to be a stepping stone to a higher-level Olympiad event, be it the Olympics for the time being, or a future sport, X.0 extreme high-performance event, perhaps to be named the Super Olympics. Paralympic skier Kevin Bramble anticipates this movement. "I identify more with somebody like Laird Hamilton, Matt Hoffman, or Tony Hawk, who were a big wave surfer, a BMX pioneer, and a skateboard guru. Guys that have taken their sport to a place it had never been. Thus I propose a possible new emergence of an Olympiad event called the Super Olympics, where new sports emerge from the increasing acceptance and desire for therapeutic enhancements worn by both disabled and non-disabled athletes, whereby athletes who do not wear these devices because of lack of availability or finance would be labeled under the techno-deficient or poor Olympics created by the obsession of body-mimicking parts competing in the Olympics. These actions would reflect on the amateur level at recreation and high school sport, which might help to facilitate the participation of disabled people with disabilities into mainstream sport activities, provided they could have access to therapeutic enhancements through availability and affordability. This incentive would most likely have to come from federal or provincial government to improve the lifestyle and quality of health of disabled people. It is in this area that my research is moving. Disabled people are underrepresented in sports on various levels, from participant to leadership positions in the sport industry. Although 12.4% of Canadians have disabilities related to activity and functional limitations, they represent only 1% of the memberships of national sport organizations. Thus, the new question becomes the development and sustainability of participation in sport for disabled people, possibly through the sustainability of development of sport peace-building programs for disabled people. Thank you.